Om Shanti. Good morning. Today Baba has spoken again, a very beautiful murali. And this is one that comes at the end of the season of 1986. We've been hearing the 86 muralis. And at the end of the season, Baba's giving a summary of the result of all the double foreigners. Bharatvasis have also been in the season, but this particular murali is especially for the double foreigners. And Baba has spoken about two very specific qualities that they have. And Baba has said that firstly, the power of love. And the power of love has brought souls from far away to Madhuban. The power of love has given souls the capacity to adapt. And the power of love has given souls the possibility of transformation. And so two things, the power of love and the power of transformation. These are the two specialities that Baba has specially mentioned. But what struck me even more powerfully from the murali today is that Baba has spoken about two different varieties of creation through Brahma. And one is the creation through the mouth. And in bhakti, they remember that deities emerged from the lotus mouth of Brahma. Now, on one level it sounds off the planet, but then you begin to understand the symbolism behind it all and the reality of what Baba is doing today. Shiv Baba spoke Gyan through the mouth of Brahma, and as a result of that, those who took spiritual rebirth and became Brahmins are the ones who study and become deities. So bhakti has this incredible image of deities coming out of the mouth of Brahma. But the second method, it's also been said that Brahma created his creation with the power of thought. Again, that's an incredible statement. How is that possible? And the way Baba describes it is that Brahma Baba had that thought that Baba's children were abroad, and so Baba sent out those powerful thoughts in meditation. And we've heard that in Janki of how sometimes Baba would be sitting conducting meditation and it would appear that Baba was very far away, and different to just thinking about Paramdham and yoga with Paramdham, but very specifically as if Baba was not here. And they would ask Baba, and Baba would say, this is right from the days of Karachi, and Baba would say that Baba's not just seeing all of you children, Baba's actually seeing many, many children across the world. The ones who are not yet here, but Baba's already seeing them and invoking them. And through the years, it's been very fascinating to hear different souls from different countries talk about how it is Baba came to them in their dreams, or Baba came to help them in a particular situation, and at that time they didn't know, but then as soon as they saw a photograph, a picture of Brahma Baba in a book, at the center, different things, then of course they realized that this is the one. And so that became a very firm foundation for their faith. And so different ways in which Baba's power of thought reached souls across the world. But what fascinates me is the whole subject of the power of thought. How many thoughts do we have in the space of 1 hour? how many thoughts do we have in the space of one day? So it's a lot of thoughts and many, many thoughts coming from here and there, and so much stimulation of the mind, especially in today's world. And so, do I know how powerful my thoughts are? Are my thoughts powerful or are they not? Sometimes we have a very powerful thought, or we think it's a powerful thought, but nothing seems to come of it. And we think, well, maybe it wasn't the right time or whatever, but it happens. Is that right? You have lots and lots of thoughts and you think they're good thoughts, and why isn't it happening? It should have happened. Well, both things. A, maybe it isn't the right time, but B, also, maybe that thought had something else mixed within it. And so it wasn't completely altruistic. It wasn't completely for the benefit of others. But maybe it was very specifically something that I personally was engaged in and wanted to happen. And so, in effect, it was actually my desire. It wasn't a pure thought at all. Could be either. But if there's some motive filled for the self, then that isn't considered a pure thought or a powerful thought. Purity and power are very connected. And so when we have pure thoughts, then we can feel the power of those pure thoughts. And I think that for me the lesson from the Murali was very much this, that is it possible for me to have powerful, pure thoughts for how long? While I sit in yoga? Yes, I can at least aim for that, because during meditation we are very aware that it's our thoughts that are the foundation for the link with God. But is it possible for me to have pure thoughts after yoga? Because most of the day we are not in yoga. Most of the day we are in activity. And yes, we try to remember God, but still, most of the time it's action, action, action. And so our thoughts are very much connected with whatever is going on here. So is it possible for me to raise my consciousness to another level so that my thoughts are not just on what is going on around here? Because if I'm just seeing what's going on here, and that's the trigger for my thinking, most of the time it's just reactions. It's not pure, powerful thinking. And so, can I do what I need to do here, but yet also keep my thoughts up above, on a different level? And when Baba talks about karma yoga, do the actions you need to do, the karma you need to do, but keep your consciousness linked with the one above. And that depends on my thoughts. Yoga is my thoughts. And then, of course, it becomes more than my thoughts. It's a bond of connection with God. But in the first instance, it is my thoughts. And so whilst I'm engaged in action, can I keep the quality of my thinking so elevated that I can feel God's presence with me? The yoga when I'm sitting down and the power of purification that's happening, that's another quality of yoga. But at least if I'm engaged and I keep my thoughts with God, I will definitely have a different type of response to everything that's going on around me. And so there are three words that Baba uses together to teach us how to keep our thoughts up above. And one is this word Trinetri, the third eye. Am I able to engage in action? And also, instead of looking with these two eyes, can I see from here? Can I see from soul consciousness, keeping my third eye open? And if you experiment with that, and I'm sure many of you have done for a long time, but once I experiment with that, then I can see a huge difference between my thinking when it's just here and my thinking when it's from here. And so keeping my third eye open, and my responses can be very, very different. My response isn't one in which there's lust or anger, right? Somebody's driving past you and they're going at a crazy speed and you have the thought, they're mad. Well, if I'm looking with my third eye and I see them coming behind me, I make sure I get out of the way. But also, I don't have race thoughts about why they're driving like this. Who knows? There could be a dozen reasons why they're moving at such high speed, which is dangerous. But there won't be any further waste thoughts. Maybe even if there's an ambulance or a fire engine that I hear, or a police car that I hear, instead of thinking, oh my goodness, maybe at that moment I think, well, there's a problem someone somewhere. Can I send good wishes? I don't know them, I don't know the story, but I can definitely send good wishes. And I'll never know the result of those good wishes, because good wishes are incognito. And it's a great way to make us very detached from outcome, from result, and the visibility of outcome. And so the power of thought, when I'm looking from here, there's no anger, because I'm looking at it from a very different perspective. Anger comes and then I try and stop it and remind myself, Om Shanti. That's a different thing. By the time I remind myself Om Shanti and I become Om Shanti, there's still a time lag, and so there'll still be upheaval. I remember somebody telling me, a medical person, that if somebody has been in an accident, of course there's a lot of trauma, not just what's happened to the car, not just what's happened to the body, maybe nothing very much has happened to the body. But she said that the trauma that the body experiences at that moment, and the physiology, the state of the body even afterwards, is as much as if it had been a very severe accident in which maybe a lot of damage had happened to the body or to the car or whatever. And so the point is that at that moment, when I think there's an accident and there's going to be a lot of damage, the body trauma is the same as if it had gone through a major accident, and not even just whiplash, but just the sinking, or even if there's a near miss, again, the body goes through that same trauma. And so again, I'm seeing a lot of evidence that we now have, and I think it's recognized across the world, that through science, through all the research that's happened, that our thoughts and our feelings, and both are connected, have a huge impact on the body itself. But of course, we also see that our thoughts and our feelings communicate themselves to others, and without you having to say a word, but they catch things from sometimes your body language, and sometimes from your vibrations. Maybe you're even so aware that you make sure that your body language is straight and clear and calm, but your vibrations, that also reaches. And so if a whole world can be created just with the power of thought, they say sankalp se srishti, my thoughts create my world. So what am I doing? What sort of world am I creating for myself? And so am I creating a world in which I can maintain my own happiness and stability? Or am I caught up with all the stories I'm hearing and seeing happen around me, outside of me? The whole story of COVID has been the visibility of this. How am I coping with everything? What are my thoughts? And if my thoughts are, oh my goodness, what a nuisance, I hope it doesn't happen to me, and I hear stories, there's a huge amount of fear. And it's valid, yes, it can happen to me. And so I need to be cautious, I need to be careful, I need to follow all the systems of hygiene and social distancing and all of that. But yet, there's a different approach, and that is that, well, I know that my own fear is going to lower my immunity, and my own thoughts of hope, my own thoughts of positivity are going to be able to increase my immune system. That's a reality. And so can I make sure that not just in a situation which is a massive one like COVID, but in every situation, can I just keep looking at things with the third eye and seeing a deeper significance beyond everything that's superficial? There's a second word that Baba uses with Trinetri, and that is Trikaldarshi. See the three aspects of time. And there was a very interesting Murali the other day, I think about 2 weeks ago, in which Baba was saying that if you are able to see past, present and future, and this has nothing to do with astrology, but everything to do with spiritual understanding. And so when I look at the past and I see, yes, over many births, whatever it is that I've done has brought me to this point. It's not God who manipulated things and made me a puppet. It's not just by sheer chance. Nothing happens just by chance. There's a reason behind everything happening. And so if I'm here in this situation, if I have this question, but why? You know how when children start asking the question, why? At some point, there's a point of exasperation where there isn't any more an answer. Why? And so Baba also tells us that I don't know what I did in my past, and talking about past births. I don't know what I did then, and it's many, many accounts that I have to settle. And so I cannot ask why, because I know that there is a reason. And how? Well, I don't know who else was involved with me in that situation. Recent past, long-term past, no idea. What, if, but, all of these questions come and create a huge storm. And in the midst of that storm, there's confusion. And in confusion, I don't know what I need to do now. Is that right? When you're confused, do you know which way to turn, which way to go? When you see a driver in front of you hesitating, going very slowly, you know they don't know where they're going. They're looking. Maybe they haven't looked at their phone to see the navigation route. But it's clear. So when there's confusion, you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do, you don't know what's supposed to be happening. And so it deprives me of the possibility of thinking clearly and understanding what steps I need to take now at this moment. And so here's Baba telling me, well, think about the whole drama. And you know the past, many, many birth story. You also know that you are in charge of your own future. And so if and what and why and maybe, it's up to you. You decide what you need to do, and that is the future you will create. And so, pure thoughts. Can I be aligned with the universe and the way things are moving? Can I understand that I might not know the detail or the reasons, but I do understand deep in my heart that whatever is going on is a direct outcome of whatever it is I have been involved with and I have done. And so now what I want to do is to keep my mind very quiet. And yes, whatever I need to do on the external level, let me do that. But on the inner level, what I need to do is to keep my mind so quiet that I can hear God's signal. I can understand the signal of the drama. There's an expression that we use a lot in the family, and the expression is the call of the time. And it was in the 90s when we'd started a program for a small group of people, and Daddy had met with those people, and she'd asked them, what is it that would bring you to Madhuban? And some of them had been to Madhuban, some of them hadn't, very high level, high profile people. And they all said the same thing. I was very surprised and yet not surprised. They all said, if we could have a meeting with Daddy, and it was Daddy Janki who was there at the time, if we could have a meeting with Daddy, that would be what would bring us to Madhuban. These are people who are friends, not BKs. And she said to them, okay, I'll organize that. And so the first time they came, we didn't have a title. But then when we had that event, then we asked Daddy afterwards, what sort of theme should we take up with this group and others who joined the group? And she paused for a moment and she said in Hindi, Samya ki pukar, the call of the time. And after that, we've used that expression in so many different ways. But are my thoughts aligned with the call of the time? What is it that time is calling me to do at this moment? Again, you can see that if I'm just reacting, I'm just looking at things on a mundane level, it'll be very different. If I take a moment, and I'm not even thinking about golden age or anything like that, but at this moment, what is time calling of me? What is it that I would like to do? What I need to do? And if I can catch that signal, then not only will that pure thought, that signal be fulfilled, but it would also make me very happy, because I've been thinking about how if I'm aligned with the way drama is going, and it's more and more difficult to look at things just from the level of logic. Who could have predicted this time last year, or even in January, that down the road in October, 10 months later, we'd be having this situation of the auditorium with one quarter of the seats being full and others wanting to come, and we're telling them, no, please don't come on Sunday, come on Monday or Tuesday. So logic doesn't seem to work anymore in terms of planning for the future scenarios. You don't know what's going to jump in, how and where and when. But on an inner level, if I had listened to the call of the time in January, what I would have seen is that everything is suddenly nowadays, and Baba told me that, told all of us that. So things will happen suddenly. But what was the call of the time for me then, and what is the call of the time for me now? It is, I need to be stable in my own faith, in my own understanding, in my own conviction. And if I have that stability, then I'm going to make sure I stay connected. So we could have predicted this in January, that there would be unexpected things happening. We didn't know whether there would be floods in London, and of course there are floods in London, but I think fortunately most of us aren't impacted by that. Maybe some are, I don't know. So my point that from a spiritual perspective, we do know what it is we need to do. And as time continues and as climate change gets more and more crazy, I don't hear so much scientists in denial. And I have to share this with you, even though it's a very external thing. But last week I read that it was in the 50s, 1953 to be precise, that scientists, medical scientists, began to say that smoking causes cancer. And what they did at that time, the big cigarette companies, I'm not defaming anyone, it's a reality of history, the big cigarette companies actually called in a big PR agency to ask, what should we do about this? And after some time and many thousands of pounds, dollars, it was in America, they decided on a strategy. If a scientist is saying it's dangerous, can we have other scientists who say it's not dangerous? We'll pay them to do research in the way that we want and prove that it's actually not dangerous. And so that strategy went on, and of course there was this big debate. I've forgotten the year that no smoking became a law in public places, when exactly that law started to happen in different countries. But it wasn't that long ago. It would have been, in fact, after 94, because I remember a journey with Daddy from South Africa, an overnight journey back to London, and the flight was full, not possible to change, and Daddy travelled economy, and the person who was sitting on that row with us, the three seats, they were smoking, and they couldn't change our seats, and nobody could tell him. First they asked him politely, because he could see that he was coughing. You know how bad Daddy's cough was. So anyway, so we couldn't do anything about it, and she arrived back in London in not such a good condition. But so it would have been after 94, because that was her first trip to South Africa, as soon as apartheid finished, or at least as soon as democracy started. And so all the way through till probably the mid-90s or the end of the 90s, from 1953. Can you imagine the lies we were told? But the same thing has happened with climate change. And so just pointing out that I've been challenged by scientists in a public forum at the climate change conferences at the UN, and they would say that we began to recognize those people, and they would be there every year, and they would say there's no such thing as climate change because of human intervention. It's natural, it's part of the cycles of nature. In this way, no. But they were being paid, obviously, by the oil companies. And so that's pretty clear now. So on the level of logic, you don't know what's going to happen, what lies you're going to be told, or what's going to be happening. But from a spiritual perspective, we knew that all the things that are going on are leading to that point of total chaos. So what is the call of the time for me? It's to be able to prepare myself on an inner level to such an extent that what's going on around me doesn't shake me, but I understand that it's a time of transition. And when it's a transition time, it creates a lot of upheaval. You know, we are moving from summer into autumn. We're in autumn now. And so people understand that this is a season to be careful and look after your health, even apart from COVID. When there's a transition, there's a lot of upheaval. And so at the present time, a huge amount of upheaval and more to come. We've not seen the end of upheaval. There's whether it's going to be the economy or whatever it is, but if I look at things with the vision of the third eye open and the understanding of the three aspects of time, what are the reasons that have created upheaval? What is it we need to do at this moment, and how a better world can come through the power of our thoughts? So not only the power of my thoughts, ensuring that it's not anger or greed or ego that's coming my way, but understanding that my response has to be a different one. It has to be on a higher level than all the mundane things that are happening. And so these two words, Trinetri, the third eye open, Trikadarshi, see everything with the awareness of the three aspects of time, and the third thing, Trilokinath, the master of three worlds. Can I move from looking at the situation here to being up above and being able to look at the world from here? And what will my response be? It'll definitely be one that's free from attachment, because when I'm here, I'm absolutely entangled, not just engaged, but really entangled. And there's no possibility of me creating that distance and being detached. But I don't have to step back, I have to step up. The master of the three worlds, I know that I can look at things from the subtle dimension, but I can also look at things from the higher place, the place of silence and peace. And the story of the astronauts who, when they looked at the planet from up above, as they were spinning around the Earth 3 minutes to take one spin around the Earth, and at first they were identifying with the place from which their rocket had taken off, and then they started to identify not only with that place but just with the country. And then as they got used to spinning around, they identified not only with that country, but they identified with the whole planet. It took them 9 minutes to move from "that's my hometown" to "I'm part of a global family and this is my home. The whole planet is my home." And they came back with these beautiful words that this earth is like a blue pearl in the ocean of darkness. And so the water giving that idea of the blue pearl and how precious this blue pearl is. And so when I identify with one person, with one role, with one place, I'm trapped. And my security is in that trap, the bird stuck in the cage. It's security, but of course it's no freedom. and no freedom to think in a different way. And when I move up above, I think differently. And there's no attachment there, but I know what it is I need to do. So when Baba teaches us all these ideas of look with your third eye, understand the three aspects of time, be the master of the three worlds, it's for us to play with these ideas and practice these ideas so that our thinking begins to change. And then, yes, I'm on track to be able to have a spiritual experience when I sit down and I can have the time, I can connect with Baba. So often this question comes, how can I keep my consciousness in a higher state so that then my life begins to change? Because yoga, 10 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it is great. But then when I'm in the thick of it, my reactions are my old reactions. How can I change that? So all these methods, and I just shared three methods, but every single Murali has many very beautiful methods to change our thinking whilst we are engaged in action. And you don't need to remember 5 points from the Murali. Remember one sentence from the Murali. Literally, just take one sentence from the Murali and experiment with it. And keep it, you know how sometimes you have a song running through your mind and it won't go away. I'm sure everybody's had that experience, or a tune, something that you'd enjoyed and you'd liked it, but it's stuck and it won't go away. It's in your mind. Well, let Baba's words be in your mind, that they don't go away even when you're not consciously thinking about it, but keep it in your awareness, and that one thought will help you look at things very differently. So enjoy today's Murali.